It's time now for To Your Health on AM 1420 KGNB, an informative look at the world of medicine and technology. Now, here's your host, Ron Friesenon.
Good morning and welcome to To Your Health. This is our weekly look into the world of health and medicine. CBD oil, short for cannabidiol, has become wildly popular in recent years and has been touted as potential treatments for diseases and maladies from anxiety to multiple sclerosis. But does medical science back those claims? And are all CBD oils equal? Well, those are some of the topics we'll talk about this morning as we visit with Dr. Brett Ginsburg. Dr. Ginsburg is a PhD and is Associate Professor of Psychiatry in the Graduate School of Biomedical Science at the UT Health Science Center in San Antonio. Dr. Ginsburg's current research focuses on the behavioral neurobiology and pharmacology of alcohol, opiates, and cannabinoids. Dr. Ginsburg, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
I thought we'd talk general and then get into specifics. And the first question I would have is, what is CBD oil? I know they talk about it as a derivative from marijuana, but can you talk a little bit about what actually it is?
Absolutely. So as you probably are aware, cannabidiol is one of the major ingredients in cannabis or marijuana. It's one of the hundreds, if not thousands, of chemicals that this plant produces. And it's one of the two that's produced in very high amounts. Its sort of cousin may have heard of, that's THC or tetrahydrocannabinol. And that's the chemical in marijuana that people seek out for the high that when they use it recreationally. Cannabidiol is not that chemical. It's an alternative chemical that's made in the same plant that doesn't have that high effect. Instead, it's got effects that seem to be important in sleep and pain and doesn't cause an abuse or any other sort of liability like that. So CBD oils are created from these plants for the most part, and the plants are refined and processed, and ideally the only product in these oils when they're finished are the cannabidiols. Now, there are different products out there, and some of them may retain little trace amounts of THC depending on the plant that they started with. And depending on the process they use, there could be other chemicals that the plant produces in the final oil product. But the idea here is that these are refined products that contain high concentrations, relatively high concentrations of that cannabidiol product. And it's kept in oils generally because this chemical dissolves in oil but not water. And as I'm sure any of your listeners know, if you put water in a pot and then drop oil on it, they separate. And the things that stick to the oil stay in the oil, and the things that stick in water. Well, this is one that sticks in oil. So that's why they sell these as oil preparations.
Let me ask you about the CBD oil itself. You mentioned that it does not contain or maybe just trace elements of THC, but there's just a wide spectrum of products out there. Is there any sort of regulation or check that they have to go through to maintain any kind of degree of quality control?
So as you may be aware, the state of Texas has an allowance for small amounts of THC down to about 0.3% of the content can be THC. And that is really the extent of the regulation. Now, when those products have been tested by independent laboratories, sometimes they'll exceed those levels. It's very difficult, as you can imagine, from a regulatory standpoint, to test all of the hundreds or potentially thousands of products that are available in the marketplace now. In general, the regulation is that THC has to be at below 0.3% of the content.
When a person looks at a bottle of CBD oil, is that type of information on there, or what will a person see on a label that might give him or her some information or insight as to whether this is a product that falls within what's supposed to be there or maybe outside the norm?
Unfortunately, that can be difficult for the consumer. It often is on the labeling what the content, what the CBD content of that is. And sometimes some manufacturers will make their claim about the content of the THC in that product. One thing that your listeners may look for are whole plant or whole spectrum extracts, which would be more likely to contain the THC, because these are extracts that are basically made from the entire cannabis plant. And so there's just more likely, it's more likely that that THC is just going to kind of travel along. There are other products that tend to be more specific. And so you can look for these products that are not whole spectrum, but are instead a fractional extraction. So one way to do that is to look at labels. And I know we'll get to this a little bit later in the conversation, but certainly it's really important to seek out products that have an independent lab verifying the contents of the product before you buy it or consume it.
Like you said, we'll talk about that a little bit later on the show. Right now, I wanted to talk a little bit about what we know about the effectiveness of CBD oil. As I mentioned at the start of the show, it's been touted as a potential benefit in a variety of ailments. But is there a lot of actual medical research out there, either supporting or not supporting any of those claims?
Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of the types of randomized controlled trials that we like to see when we make these evaluations. Those are just being conducted now with sort of the change in public perception about cannabinoids and cannabis in general. But we do know a little bit. So one thing that we know that we're pretty sure of is that cannabidiol is effective at treating certain forms of epilepsy, including a particularly devastating form of that's resistant to other kinds of treatments that we have available in children. And so as you can imagine, for a parent with a child with an intractable form of epilepsy, the fact that we've seen that CBD can help these children is an absolute godsend. And that does seem to be effective. In fact, the product, there's a product that is a CBD-based product that's produced by a pharmaceutical company, and that product has been approved by the FDA for use in that form of epilepsy. Beyond that, we're just still gathering evidence. There is good reason to think that cannabidiol can be helpful in certain situations of chronic pain. There's gathering evidence for that, although I don't think that it's reached the level where we can say with such assurance that, yes, this is something that's helpful and people should try it. There are other indications people have tried it for, things like schizophrenia, things like substance abuse, and there's some positive results that have been published on those indications. But I think we're still in a phase where we're learning about this and finding out what it works for and what maybe is just lore.
This may be a little bit out of the scope of our conversation, but is there anything in or that people know about CBD oil that might give an indication that it could have effectiveness for anxiety or some of the other things that they talk about?
Could you ask that question? Could you ask that question again?
Sure. What I was trying to ask is there anything that we know about CBD oil and its effects that might make one think that, yes, it could have potential in some of these areas like anxiety? Sure. or things like that?
Yes, absolutely. So CBD seems to have, to put it simply, a calming or quieting effect. And so the things that we're really interested in looking at CBD's potential for are things that relate to that. So sleep disorders, there's reason to think that CBD may help people who have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. There's a very large interest in using CBD in PTSD for, in particular, soldiers who have been in battle situations and are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. It seems like it might be able to reduce some of the agitation. It's really one of the hallmark problems those people suffer from. And so these sorts of social anxieties or like I said, sleep disorders, and in the case of schizophrenia, that the sort of agitation that comes with that, these are the types of things that we're really very interested in looking at CBD effects on.
Do we know, is CBD oil safe for people to take? Are there any potential side effects or any potential individuals that maybe shouldn't be taking CBD oil?
So first and foremost, you should always talk to your physician, because there is no doubt that this is a drug. And just like any drug, it can interact with other medications that you that someone might be taking. And so it's important to talk to your physician to make sure that there's no potential problem with any drug interactions with medications that someone's already taking. Beyond that, cannabidiol has a pretty long safety record. People have been using this in the form of recreational or medicinal marijuana for many, many, many years. And so we have a pretty good idea of what its potential risks might be. It has a very low risk of overdose. People have it would be almost inconceivable that a person could overdose on CBD. And if they did, it would likely be the sensation of a lot of lethargy, sort of sleep it off. That said, obviously, anything at high enough doses can be dangerous, and so that's not licensed to just go, guzzling the stuff. What I would be more concerned with is if the products people are consuming have other things in them. So, for instance, early on, a lot of the CBD products that were available in the United States were produced in China and India, and especially in China, the hemp that they were growing to make these products was being grown on former mining sites. And they were actually using the cannabis to absorb the heavy metals from the mining waste to clean up the land. And they had this cannabis, they figured they could use it again to make CBD oil. And there was a New York Attorney General study that found very low levels of cannabidiol in these products, but very high levels of things like arsenic. So it's important to look at the sourcing. We now have better domestic producers, and I would definitely recommend that. So there are maybe other things in these products that could be dangerous. And then the other thing that I must mention, because we see it, I mentioned earlier that there can be trace levels of THC in these products. If you're in a position where you might be subject to drug testing, it's important to recognize that some of these products may produce a positive drug test, which could threaten someone's job or other aspects of their life.
That was one of the questions I had for you. So if I understand correctly, CBD oil in its purest sense would not have any effect on a drug test. But if there are those elements of THC in it, then possibly it could.
That's exactly correct.
You mentioned that potentially there could be a problem if a person overdosed. I'm wondering about dosage. Is there any clear information or standards as to what proper dosage is?
That's a great question, and it's something that we're still working on. If we look at the published studies, the dosages that people use are extremely broad. ranging from anywhere from, say, 10 milligrams for a dose up to, say, 300 and even higher milligrams for a dose. And I think this really reflects the state of the science right now, that we haven't really dialed in what the right dose for the right condition is. As I'm sure many of your listeners can appreciate, the same drug might be used to treat two different conditions, and it might be administered at different doses for each of those conditions. And those are the types of studies that are underway right now to try and dial that in. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of good guidance to give people on what dose to target. Certainly, the rule of thumb that we use in my realm of pharmacological research is that you always start very low, see if there is an effect, and then you slowly increase until you get to a place where you get the desired effect, and then you stop to eliminate the likelihood that you're going to overdose. So proceed with caution and start low would always be my best suggestion.
Dr. Brett Ginsburg is my guest. Dr. Ginsburg is a PhD and associate professor of psychiatry in the Graduate School of Biomedical Science at the UT Health Science Center in San Antonio. We're talking about CBD oil on this edition of To Your Health. Dr. Ginsburg, as far as the means of taking CBD oil is, I know it can be ingested, I think applied as an oil or used as a tincture. I think vaping is also a means of doing it. Is there any indication or evidence to indicate one means better than the other as far as taking CBD oil?
It probably depends on what the intention is. So for things like, chronic sciatic pain, it makes sense that a topical application at the place where the pain is originating from is probably going to be more effective and probably will require lower doses than ingesting it orally so it goes throughout your entire body. Similarly, for things that are general mood, for instance, or sleep aids, we would expect that taking the product systemically or orally would probably be better than locally applying it on your hands using a cream, for instance. So it probably depends on what the intent is. What I can say is that, as is probably obvious, someone who vapes CBD is going to get a much quicker increase in the levels of that chemical in their body than someone who applies a topical cream, just because the absorption is a lot faster. There's a reason that people who smoke cigarettes smoke them rather than rubbing them on their hands, and that's because the rate of the rise is very fast. So there's probably an issue of whether you want a rapid onset with a long period of effect, or whether you want a slow onset with a short period of effect. It probably depends on the intended use.
Let's get back. We had talked a little bit earlier about the product itself. A person that goes into a health food store to purchase CBD oil. Again, talk a little bit about what they need to be looking at. You mentioned third-party testing is one of the things that's important. What on that label, what in that product should a person be looking for to make sure he or she's getting a quality product?
So the first thing I'll say, and I'll tell you that over the past few years, I've been asked this question and my answers changed a little bit. What I'll say is that we now have companies that have established track records of producing these products. Moreover, some of these companies have an even longer track record of producing other nutraceutical products, vitamins or other tinctures or extracts. And so these companies that have a track record of producing these types of products are probably more desirable than the stores that we might see popping up on street corners all around our region, depending on the products that those stores sell. So the first thing I would say is look at the producer and do some research, do some due diligence, and find out if this is a reputable a reputable product and a reputable manufacturer. And so a little bit of internet searching can help with that. Certainly don't just gravitate towards products that either have a glossy label or a splashy web page. Instead, really do some diligence about the company, their values, their standards, and how they view their product and their service. Beyond that, I would say those reputable companies will always invariably have some way for you to obtain the independent analysis that another lab, not their own, has provided of what's in that product. And often it'll be lot by lot. So the product you're consuming, you're purchasing and consuming, a little piece of that product has been tested. And so if we can look at those independent results and verify that the product has indeed has the cannabidiol that they say it does and doesn't have, say, the heavy metals I mentioned earlier, has a reasonable amount of THC, for instance, all of this should be available, and the manufacturer should be able to provide that. Sometimes they use a QR code on the label, sometimes it's a package insert, and sometimes you go to their website and you can find archives of those. But that's probably the best protection a consumer has in terms of knowing what they're ingesting into their body.
And a good note upon which to end today's show is, Dr. Ginsberg, we're out of time for this edition of To Your Health. Some very good information on CBD oil. I thank you for taking the time to join us this morning.
Thanks for the opportunity. I enjoyed it.
That's Dr. Brett Ginsberg, PhD, Associate Professor of Psychiatry in the Graduate School of Biomedical Science at the UT Health Science Center in San Antonio. And you've been listening to Your Health on AM 1420, KGNB, and 103.1 FM. Fox News is next.